welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, variety. From one program, it's the Radio Hall of Fame from February 6th, 1944 on the NBC Blue Network. Hosted by co-ASCAP founder Deems Taylor and featuring editor-in-chief of Variety magazine Abel Green and actor Brian Ahern and singer Martha Raye, a good program in this next hour. It's the Radio Hall of Fame.
The Radio Hall of Fame is presented during the full hour ahead by Philco Corporation, makers today of electronic battle equipment for the fighting forces of the United Nations. Makers tomorrow of equipment for good living in a free world united by victory. Cooperating with Philco are the editors and correspondents of Variety, who report for the Philco program all the news of all show business the world over every week. This week, the editors of Variety recommend for your pleasure, and Philco delights to honor in your name,
from motion pictures and the legitimate theater, Brian Ahern.
From radio and the nightclubs, Barry Wood.
From Hollywood and the American Western War Zone, Martha Raye.
From the variety stage, J.C. Flippin.
Conducting the Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus, Paul Whiteman.
Our master of ceremonies, the distinguished composer, author, and commentator, Deems Taylor.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Deems Taylor speaking for Philco. I probably don't have to remind many of you that our Radio Hall of Fame is on the air to offer you a second chance to hear some of the good things in the world of entertainment that you may have missed or, having heard, might want to hear again. I'm pretty sure that you have heard the music that is our overture today, and I'm equally sure that you'll find new things to like about it as Paul Whiteman treats it. It's that persistent bestseller, Besame Mucho, by the Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus.
Amen.
Speaking of halls of fame, there's one on Broadway here in New York. It's the Palace Theater, which used to be the goal of every vaudevillian. To him, a week at the Palace was the equivalent of a weekend in Valhalla to a Norseman. It was the happy hunting ground. And a mighty hunter was J.C. Flippin, who has played the Palace not once, but 8 times. Not in his lifetime, but in 1 year. Even if he weren't the happy warrior that you've heard on radio's Battle of the Sexes, and lately on Correction, Please, or the irrepressible blackface comedian that you've seen in many a Broadway musical, that Palace record of his would entitle J.C. Flippin to a latchkey to the Radio Hall of Fame. And so, at Variety's recommendation, we present it herewith. J.C., your latchkey.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Taylor, for that nice introduction. Gee, I'm happy to be on this program.
And I feel swell tonight. I've been keeping in shape because it's patriotic keep and trim. I'm really in the pink. As soon as I get up in the morning, I bend down, I pull up. I bend down, I pull up. First thing you know, I got my girdle on. Oh, but I love exercise. I can watch it for hours. I ran around the park today, 15 times. 15 times. One of these days, I'm going to catch one of those girls, too. But the band is really going for setting up exercises. The minute rehearsal is over today, all the boys rush in the nearest bars and set them up. Oh, but that's a nice fellow, that Deems Taylor, and he's lucky, too. He's got a regular cook. Comes every day. Little Spanish girls came up here about South America about 2 years ago, couldn't speak a word of English. So she said to Deems, she says, look, Mr. Taylor, on my day off, when I go into a restaurant, what do I say? How do I order? He says, very simple. You walk in, you sit down, say, apple pie. That's all. So she walked in, sat down, said, apple pie. The waitress brought it, she ate it, she liked it. About a month later, she came back and says, look, I'm a little tired of apple pie. What else can I say? So he says, walk in and say, ham and egg sandwich. So she walked in and says, ham and egg sandwich. Waitress says, white or rye? She says, apple pie. Thank you very much. Thank you. Ah, but you've been having too much fun. I sing here. All right, so I'm really not Frank Sinatra. I'm really his brother, not Sinatra. But seriously, the last time I played the Palace, Paul Whiteman was, of course, the headliner, and we sang him a bit of a song. Would you drop a nickel in the piano, please? When whippoorwills call and evening is night, I hurry to my blue heaven. A little white light, a turn to the right, will lead you no place but my blue heaven. You'll see a smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom. There's just Molly and me, and Whiteland makes three. We're happy in my blue heaven. My first baby's cry made me a changed guy and led me to my blue heaven. The first thing I knew, we had number two to play with in my blue heaven. And I knew right then and there the stork was growing fond of me, for very soon he flew around with number three. But three is a crowd, and for crying out loud, we're crowded in my blue heaven.
I've heard him featured on such big-time radio programs as The Million Dollar Band and Your Hit Parade. If New York nightclubs are on your beat, you've probably not only heard him, but seen all 190 pounds of him. But the achievement of which he is proudest is the part he was able to play in helping to raise the money that backs up our fighting men. For it was Barry Wood who introduced Irving Berlin's persuasive Any Bonds Today as the official war bond song of the United States Treasury Department. He'd be a welcome visitor here at any time, but Variety believes, and Philco agrees, that it is particularly fitting that Barry Wood be with us in the midst of the fourth war loan drive. He's singing a song from one of Broadway's most solid hits, Carmen Jones, and the song is as appropriate as the singer. Stand up and fight.
Stand up and fight. Thanks a lot, I'm sure glad to be where I can see so many friends of mine. How've I been doing? How've I been doing? If you really want to know the truth, I'm doing fine. 17 decisions in a row, and only 5 on point, the rest was all KO. Johnson and Jackson, Murphy and Bronson, one by one they come, and one by one, to dreamland they go. How's it done? You ask me, how's it done? I got a trainer man who taught me all I know. Sure feels good to have him in my corner, hear his voice a whispering low. Big boy, remember, you must remember. Stand up and fight until you hear the bell. Stand toe to toe, trade blow for blow. Keep a punch until you make your punch yourself. Show that crowd what you know. Until you hear that bell, that final bell. Until you hear that bell. Keep a punch until you make your punches tell. Show that crowd what you know. Until you hear that bell, that final bell. Until you hear that bell.
Few careers in the theater and motion pictures are as genuinely distinguished as that of Brian Ahern. For example, Mr. Ahern will be long remembered for the sure, quiet dignity of his Emperor Maximilian in Juarez, for the sensitivity and vitality of his Robert Browning in The Barretts of Whipple Street with Catherine Cornell, a performance that to many of us remains a theatrical experience long to remember. And add this to his account. Without fanfare or ceremony, Mr. Ahern, himself an experienced flyer, spent last summer in the heat of Arizona as an instructor for RAF flyers. Nor did a medical discharge deter him from further service. He's constantly on the move, entertaining soldiers in army camps all over the United States and Canada. And for that distinguished record, Variety warmly recommends him to the Radio Hall of Fame. And all humanity consigns to some dark corridor in infamy one of the most brutal crimes in history, the March of Death. Enter now Brian Ahern in an original radio play, And No Birds Sing, written by Milton Geiger.
Propaganda, he said. And I shuddered at the light that flickered in his eyes as he said it.
Propaganda. And I suppose the screams and the blood and the stench and the battered faces and bleeding feet rotten with gangrene, I suppose they are propaganda also. Answer me.
I couldn't answer. I could only look down at my cocktail, ashamed now of the word. The word that the man in the ragged greatcoat abhorred from people who would not know the truth, who turned their faces from it.
I know the truth. I was there. I saw it. But there are fools who still leer and smile smugly and scratch themselves and murmur propaganda. The fools.
I had first seen him outside the hotel in the drenching rain, his greatcoat flapping in the wind as he plucked fruitlessly at the elbows of the hurrying evening crowd.
Excuse me, sir. Let me speak to you a moment. Just a moment of your time. I want nothing. I just... You, madam, a moment. Only a few... Only a few words, only... Oh, sir, your pardon, but listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Then, when the man had given up and stood leaning against a window, his great angry head sunk upon his chest, I went over to him, dread and sympathy in my heart for the message for which the dark throng at night had no ear. I stood before him. Hello.
Yes?
Can I help you?
Can I help you?
You were trying to say something to these people.
Say something? Oh, yes. Yes, I was there. I know things. I was there and I saw it all. Believe me. Believe me, I saw it.
Then I saw his eyes. For the first time, I really looked into his eyes. Forbidding and agonized. Fevered and full of unspeakable horror and death.
I was there, I tell you. It happened.
I saw that he wore a uniform. And looking into the desolate face of the soldier, I remembered the strange, strange poem by Keats.
Oh, what can ail thee, knight-at-arms, alone and palely loitering? The sedge has withered from the lake, and no birds sing.
Yes, he was alone and palely loitering, this soldier, the knight-at-arms. But more than sedge had withered from a lake, a soul had withered in that broken body and lay dead and rotting within him. He needed someone. There's a bar inside here, a drink, perhaps?
Drink?
A coffee? Hot coffee?
Coffee?
Are you hungry? Would you like something to eat?
Eat? No. No, no, nothing only talk. I want to talk. I want to talk, and people must listen to me.
We'd better go inside and sit down. We found a secluded table inside and sat down. I ordered a drink. He ordered nothing. He sat with his hands folded quietly on the table and stared into some dreadful yesterday. I let him sit, knowing that he would talk. Then it came.
Propaganda. Propaganda, they say. What do people really know about Bataan and the Ruck? And what do they know of the Long March, the March of Death, and armed beasts that ripped and tore? Oh, we had our Dunkirk, too. Men huddled on the landing stages while Bataan was falling, watching the shellfire hit the Ruck. And watching the Ruck talk back. The bay was alive with boats, and many of them blew up before our eyes. We got to the Ruck, but some did not. We had our Dunkirk, too. Corregidor. For weeks, the armed land hammered at the armored Ruck. The steel and flame challenged the flesh and bone and blood, and the steel conquered. Our flag came down, and the red sun rose in the sky over Corregidor. The men of Bataan and the Ruck laid down their weapons, believing in the strength of covenants and the honor of the enemy, and began the march. Why do they turn their faces from the truth? They who have never heard the agony of men reeling upon the bayonet. They who have never heard the sleepy hum of the blowflies rising in clouds from the living dead, while the captor marches by laughing as he retells some funny story made in Tokyo or Osaka. And the blowflies hum in clouds above the dying men lying in the ditch, betrayed, and the conqueror laughs. This one here. He was a bawling infant when the earth shook and the flames swept Tokyo. And who came to his side then and gave him food and medicine? The father, perhaps, or the mother of another baby-to-be in America, laughing in his crib. Could this fat baby now be the laughing conqueror? And could that one be the living dead, lying in the ditch with the blowflies and the dust of armies settling upon him once again? Herded like sheep, like cattle, like beasts of the field. Men, Americans, Filipinos, men.
Make line. Make line straight. March straight. Stand up. You, March straight. You!
I saw it. I was there. Men fell with saber cuts across their faces. And the blow flies gathered. Talk, they say, talk. Talk and war hysteria. They who haven't seen and heard. They can be composed, do nothing of the obscene stench and horror of the decomposed. Of heroes denied decent burial by the conqueror. Only it didn't happen. Because those who didn't see it say it couldn't happen. They say, oh, come now, isn't that rather thick?
Oh, come now, isn't that rather thick? I mean, they're our enemies and all that, but they're no different from our boys. I'm sure our boys don't bayonet helpless men and mutilate, knock them down just for a laugh. Be a little more reasonable. Be fair.
Be reasonable. Be fair. And the sick and the wounded were prodded reasonably and fairly on their way with boot and bayonet and saber. Fairly and reasonably, according to document, protocol, and conference. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Move faster. March. Move on.
All right, Yokohama, take it easy. My body's sick, can't you see? Let him alone. I'll see he gets there all right.
Shut up! Shut up! March!
He'll march, so never mind the hot foot. Stop popping off.
I say shut up! Shut up!
Look out, you dirty little...
Now you march, eh? You march now, fool, eh? March!
I saw it. The soldier raising his arm to shield his comrade from the bayonet, and the bayonet piercing his arm like a bright hot needle in the sunlight. I saw it, I tell you, I was there. I saw the Jap officers tell the men to rest. And no sooner had they sunk to the dusty road...
Up! All up! Get up! March! Enough rest!
The strong marched with the halt, the sick, the badly wounded, staggering across the fetid earth, blinded with heat and dust and the whip. The wounded, too. You admit that soldiers do get wounded in a war?
The man in the tattered greatcoat glared at me. His face was broken by a wide, laughing mouth from which no laughter issued. I said, yes, yes, of course, we all know that. Of course.
Good, good. I was afraid that that, too, was only... idle talk.
Please, your story.
Yes, my story. Mind you, the conqueror did not often shoot or stab to kill. Oh, no, the heat, the sun, the starvation, black thirst, disease, they were his executioners. They're cheap and sure. The Jap, he is a frugal fellow. Parlez-vous. Oh, forgive me. I confuse my wars a bit. Come. Come now to death at a garbage. The boy was young. 19. Naked and covered with wounds, he lay beside the garbage pit. His officer bent over him.
Kid? Look, kid. What can I do?
Captain, take me away. Hide me. It isn't decent dying like this. Take me away so the other boys won't see me dying like a rat.
Ecce homo. Behold the man. Behold mankind. Refuse of the pit. Propaganda! Propaganda, they call it!
The man in the ragged greatcoat stood up, his fists lifted like hammers of wrath.
The fools! I tried to tell them, I plead with them to listen to me and to believe me. I heard the torment of the dying, I saw the glitter of the long bayonets, and then the scarlet on them. I saw the gun butts crash against the frail skulls. I heard the sound of it, like rotten melons flung against a wall. I saw the bitter steel, and worse, I felt it. Kneeled beside a boy who smiled through broken lips and broken teeth and uttered a single word over and over again.
Mary.
I held a dirty rag soaked with foul water to his lips to ease his going.
Mary.
I heard the heavy boot of the centurion. Oh, I beg your pardon. The Jap soldier. I get my wars and times confused. I heard the Jap approaching.
Up! Get on! March! Get up!
I pointed to the boy, dying with a woman's name upon his broken lips.
Now! Get up! March, you fool! March!
Then I saw the killer's glint in those flat eyes, and I held up my hand to stop the bright bayonet, the bright hot steel flashing in the sun, flashing, driving through my hands and driving them against my chest, pinning them there. Why? Why do I die a million times? Why?
The man stood above me, swaying. Then all at once, the hectic face went gray, and the fever left his eyes, leaving them soft and tender. Then he fell. I knew that he was dead. He lay outstretched upon the floor, and the still, dead hands, each held a red scar in its palm where the metal had gone through. And I knew this as I know it now. I know that the anguish of those men who died in bitter torment and despair lives on, that agony is abroad in all the world, crying out for justice. Their dead voices cry out to us, cry out to be heard and understood. They march forever down the long valley of history. They march. Be blind to their blood. Be deaf to their outcry. Be unmoved by the cadence of their endless marching. And for us, I say, for us, the sedge shall wither from the lake, and no bird sing. And no bird sing!
There's something in the American character that periodically has us chanting such majestic nonsense as, yes, we have no bananas, horses, 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 three little fishes, the Hot Sut song, and most lately, Paul, would you give me a hand in this thing?
Well, it seems that mares eat oats, and does eat oats, and little lambs eat ivy. A kid'll eat ivy too, wouldn't you?
Only for breakfast, Paul.
Well, that's practically the song, and just to make it difficult to follow, we're going to play it in our own American way, and then we'll play it as other members of the United Nations might play it.
Paul Whiteman now drives a wedge between the United Nations with his own several interpretations of Mersey Dotes. There are moments in radio when static would be a godsend.
Little me too, wouldn't you? Give me an me too, wouldn't you?
That's the straight, perfectly understandable American version of Mersey Dolts. Now Mersey Dolts with vodka and blini, in the Russian manner.
He thinks.
Mersey Dolts. And Dolts-y Dolts.
Mersey Dolts and Dolts-y Dolts and Dolts and Dolts.
We owe the Tommies and the Anzacs for a couple of songs they taught our boys over there. Songs like Waltzing Matilda and I've Got Sixpence. In return, we'll play Mersey Dolts the way we think the English might like it.
Do you call that gratitude, old boy?
Now this song is very, very, very silly. When you hear it out in Piccadilly, everyone is singing Mersey Dolts and Dolts-y Dolts. What did Mr. Churchill say to Joseph Stalin when they had that meeting far out in Tehran? Mersey Dolts and Dolts-y Dolts.
And now the mares and the does and the kids have their roughage according to the Chinese.
Mersey-dos and dozy-dos, little lambsy-divy, a killily-divy too, will lie you. Mersey-dos and dozy-dos, little lambsy-divy, a killily-divy too, will lie you.
Now, in the spirit of gosh, it's good to be back. There's no place like home, etc. Mersey Dolts and playing United States again.
Travel is so broadening. Look what it did to Paul.
Words sound so queer to your ear when you're near. Mersey Dodio, Dozy Dodio, little Lansy, Ansy, Divey. Now say it slow, take your time, let her go. Oh, the little Lansy, Divey. Oh, Mersey Dolts and Dozy Dolts and little Lansy Divey, a kiddly-divey too, wouldn't you? A kiddly-divey, wouldn't he? Kiddly-divey, wouldn't she? Mersey Dolts and Dozy Dolts and kiddly-divey too, wouldn't.
Actual sound and sight of combat comes one of the best singing comedians in the amusement world. We haven't been seeing very much of Martha Raye lately, either on Broadway or in pictures. That's because Martha is one of the famous four, the others being Carol Landis, Mitzi Mayfair, and Kay Francis, who have been touring Ireland, Scotland, and Africa, fair weather or foul, to entertain our servicemen overseas. In fact, these girls pioneered the whole idea of the USO Entertainer Tour. And will others please copy, says Miss Ray. Since her return, she's been able to complete two pictures, Pin-Up Girl and Four Jills in the Jeep, both awaiting release by 20th Century Fox. She'll be off again soon, this time alone, to China and India to give the boys the song and laughter that they need almost as much as a letter from home. For such devoted service, Martha has been commissioned a captain in the United States Army. And for past performances and for others soon to come, Variety recommends and Philco respectfully salutes Captain Martha Raye.
Ah, gee, thanks, everybody. Oh, Mr. Whiteman, it's swell seeing you again. Boy, you sure changed. You got so thin and your hair's growing out.
Miss Raye.
And you look so...
Miss Raye, I think you made a mistake. I'm Deems Taylor.
Oh, you changed your name, too.
Look, Martha, I'm Deems Taylor. And that's Paul Whiteman over there, the man who's hiding the band.
Oh, sure. Hiya, Pop.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, swell. Gee, that Mr. Whiteman. There's two of the nicest fellas I ever met. Oh, Mr. Taylor, you'll have to excuse me for making that mistake. I'm so excited tonight. You see, this morning a little stranger came to live at our house.
No, really? A blessed event?
No, my sister married a midget.
And by the way, I suppose I should be calling you Captain instead of Martha, right?
Well, that's right. I'm really a captain in the United States Army. And boy, do I love it. Especially when those big, tall, handsome privates standing around. I just yell, "Present arms!" And when he does, I fall in. Wow, wow! Yes, I'll wait for the laugh, yes. Of course, you've got to be careful whose arms you fall into. You know, one guy grabbed me, and he kissed me, and he kissed me, and he wouldn't stop.
Well, why didn't you call an MP?
Well, who's complaining? Yeah, I finally asked him what the idea was, and he said, "Oh, every time I kiss you, it makes me a better soldier." That guy tried to become Eisenhower in 1 hour. Oh, yes, but I should have been used to it, though. You see, when we were overseas, one of the high spots of our show was getting some of the boys up on the stage and, well, playing kissing games with them.
Oh, now, did you kiss many soldiers?
Did I? Take a look at my lips. Some muscles, huh? Oh, gosh, those guys over there, those boys were really wonderful to us. Kay, Carol, Mitzi, and I. You know, we just loved it. Honestly, we told the boys we wouldn't mind staying there for months. And you know something, Dean? I never got so many lend-lease offers in my life.
Well, I can imagine those boys are pretty glad to see you.
Well, it sure seemed that way. Talk about a tribute. I walked into camp one day, and when the boys saw me, well, they dropped to their knees.
They did? What did you do?
Well, I did the same. Boy, what a crap game!
Well, I know you were in several bombings over there, Martha. How did you feel?
Numb. Very, very numb. Well, I wouldn't say I was exactly nervous, but between my knees knocking and my teeth chattering, I sounded like the rhythm section of Cougar's Roomba Band. And that time we were in the plane and those German fighters were machine gunning us. Well, Carol Landis called out, "Martha! Martha, where are you?" And I yelled back, "Right here behind these goose pimples."
I suppose that was the big thrill of the tour, was it?
Well, no, not exactly, Dean. My biggest thrill was in Casablanca, when I was awarded my captain's commission. All the boys gave me a 20-gun salute.
A 20-gun salute?
Well, they would have given me a 21-gun salute, but something happened to the other water pistol.
No. You know, Martha... You know, Martha, I wonder if I could ask you something. Well, it concerns a military secret, you know, just between you and me and the microphone. This GI coffee, is it really so very strong?
Well, the fellows over there warned me about drinking it, but I took a few swallows just the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened?
I was going to have my tonsils out anyway.
Well, I hope it left your vocal cords intact. Because right now, I think it's about time for a little of that laryngic liquidation, they call it. Say, something from your new picture, Pin-Up Girl.
Oh, Mr. Taylor, this is so sudden. You know, I hardly expected you to ask me to sing. So I've only been rehearsing with Mr. Whiteman since last Tuesday. Okay, Pops, knock me out of downbeat.
Ladies and gentlemen, attention, please. You've got to listen to me. Here's an extra special communique. Just arrived today from Washington, do 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 do. Pretty little milkmaid, milk that cow. Hey there, you grab a hold of that plow. We gotta do a heap of farming now. We're on a Yankee Doodle hay ride. Run your little tractor, stack that wheat. Your big boy and his buddy must eat. We need a lot of starch for marching feet. We're on a Yankee Doodle hay ride. Oh, there ain't gonna be no hold down till we knock the foe down. Hey, but we just can't slow down. Got to go like black. blazes, soldiers in khaki, sailors in blue, cannot be any prouder than you. A pair of overalls is a uniform too. We're all a Yankee Doodle, hey, right. Do 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 do. Hey, hey, what do you say? We gotta have beans and gotta have tomatoes. Come along, rain, we gotta have crops. Iowa corn and Idaho potatoes. Fat in that calf, we gotta have chops. If you wanna win, you gotta pitch in. If you wanna pitch in, then you gotta pitch. Hey, 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 are you going my way? Away down yonder in a cornfield. Uncle Sam is calling you to come and hitch your wagon to a Yankee Doodle. Cock a doodle doodle, hey!
It isn't generally known that Martha Ray is not only a comedian and purveyor of eccentric songs, but can also handle a romantic ballad with the skill and conviction of a Barry Wood. And just to prove that statement, Paul Whiteman marshals Miss Ray and Mr. Wood and the Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus for a Whiteman montage of some of George Gershwin's memorable songs.
Trumpet call while the people shout,
hey!
Strike up the band, hear the cymbals ring, calling one and all to the martial swing. Strike up the band, there is work to be done, there's a war to be won. Come you son of a gun, take your stand, fall in line, ye foe, come along, let's go, hey leader, strike up the band.
Time, same station, when the Radio Hall of Fame presents an all-star show from the stage of the Academy of Music in Philadelphia in cooperation with the Fourth War Loan Drive. Mr. Riggs, the roster for next Sunday.
Next week on the Radio Hall of Fame, Philco welcomes from stage and screen Joan Fontaine and Frederick March. From nightclubs and radio, Jimmy Durante. From concert and radio, Alec Templeton. From the Metropolitan Opera, Bidu Sayo. From the newsrooms, Lowell Thomas. With Paul Whiteman and the Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus. This is Glenn Riggs saying goodbye for Philco dealers and distributors throughout the United States and Canada. And from Philco Corporation, makers today of radio and electronic materials to help win the war. Makers tomorrow of materials for good living in a world at peace. The production and writing staff of the Radio Hall of Fame includes D. Engelbach, Milton Geiger, and Abel Green, editor of Variety. Martha Ray appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. Brian Ahern by arrangement with Columbia Pictures. Barry Wood through the courtesy of his sponsor, Palmolive Soap. Is the Blue Network.
The Radio Hall of Fame on Tuned to Yesterday Variety from the NBC Blue Network from February 6th, 1944. And the curtain comes down on this variety hour of Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.